Hey, everybody. It's the Charlie Kirk Show. Terry Schilling from American Principles Project joins us. Jack Posobiec to talk about the Saudi Arabian pump and dump story. And Chip Roy gives us a lame duck Congress update. Email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com, and get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. Come to America Fest at AmFest, AmFest.com. That is AmFest. Check it out right now, AmFest.com. America Fest, most amazing event in the movement. Get your tickets today. Country music performances by Riley Green and Chase Rice, Tucker Carlson, Steve Bannon, Candace Owens, Matt Walsh, Laura Ingraham, Greg Gutfeld, Josh Hawley, and more will be there. Get your tickets at AmFest.com. Largest event in the movement, AmFest. AmFest.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. Joining us now is Terry Schilling, does an amazing job. Terry, welcome back to the program.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Charlie.
So, Terry, there's a lot of news to go through here. And, you know, Terry, you run the wonderful American Principles Project. You do a great job. Talk about some of the work you did this last cycle first.
Well, we were up and running in several of these battleground Senate states, Arizona, Nevada, Wisconsin, Michigan, even. And we were running campaign ads educating the American people about the threats to our kids, especially as it comes to transgenderism. We ran a lot of ads on women's sports. But this year we did something new that we haven't done before. We ran ads educating Americans about these transgender surgeries, the hormone treatments, and just the overall gender indoctrination that the left is doing to our kids in schools. And we produced really powerful ads. Charlie, we spent almost $15 million this cycle. It's something I'm really proud of because, frankly, and I think you probably aware of this, the pro-family movement has done a lot of great things and been good at a lot of things, but they've retreated from the political battlefield. And that's what we do at American Principles Project is we fill that political gap for the family, and we win campaigns and elections for them. So we're still waiting on the results for how the impact that our ads had on the electorate. But we know that where the Republicans and the politicians that really leaned into these culture war issues and went on offense, they won by huge margins, right? Like, look at Ron DeSantis. He won by barely half of a percentage point in 2018. He takes on Walt Disney Corporation, of all people, mm-hmm. And wins by almost 20 points. Mike DeWine in Ohio signed a heartbeat bill into law. He wins by 35 points. These guys that actually went into the culture war and led on this stuff, they were rewarded handsomely at the polls. And we need to get rid of the Mitch McConnells of the world and the McCarthys and the Tom Emmers. And we really need to start rewarding our guys when they fight for us, because these guys want to keep us from fighting. It's been a disaster.
So there was a very unfortunate and tragic shooting that happened in Colorado over the weekend at a gay club in Colorado Springs. NBC's Ben Collins has been very quick to blame people like you, Terry, and people like me because we have social conservative values. Let's play cut 62 of NBC's Ben Collins.
Far-right figures appear to be testing Twitter's boundaries for anti-LGBTQ speech. GOP senator targets TikTok influencer with anti-transgender taunts. This targeted stuff has real-life impacts. I think we have to have a come-to-Jesus moment here as reporters. Are we more afraid of being on Breitbart for saying that trans people deserve to be alive? Or are we more afraid of the dead people? Because I'm more afraid of the dead people.
Terry?
Look, they've been accusing us of violence against trans people forever, right? Like, they literally accuse us of, when we oppose them or ask questions about them saying that they were born in the wrong body, they accuse us of causing them to commit suicide and self-harm. It's a, it's, it's a, it's a, it's, it would be funny and a laughing and a joke if it was actually funny, but it's not. They're accusing us of evil things. We have a right to question basic idiotic things like being born in the wrong body, right? That like men having babies, we get to question that. And it doesn't have any impact. If someone goes and shoots up a school or shoots up a gay nightclub, they're the problem. Not me, not you, for questioning transgenderism. They're literally saying crazy stuff now. And it's because they know they're losing. They know that the American people are not with them. They know the American people don't believe that men can have babies. And we just need to keep digging in. We can't let them distract us. And I just want to assure all your listeners, no one commits suicide because you have questions about transgenderism. No one commits suicide because you oppose transgenderism. There have been oppressed classes, oppressed people in the United States and globally who don't have as high suicide rates as the transgender movement and community has. They have, when you want to commit suicide, when you want to cause harm to other people, you have other underlying issues that need to be addressed before you start altering and mutilating your own body. We just need to start rejecting these people and to really call them out for what they are, which is evil tyrants. I would never blame anyone for anything tragic like a shooting simply because of their political positions. It's absolutely preposterous.
I want to play another piece of tape here. NBC's Brandi Zadrozny blames Matt Walsh and libs of TikTok for the increase in violence against the gay community. So it's somehow Matt's fault and Elon's fault and libs of TikTok and shows like ours fault because we're really concerned that children are going to be medically mutilated and lied to by their teachers and these groomers. Play cut 59.
Content moderation is a hard task. What we know is that Twitter and where the bulk of this information is right now, because that's where the biggest accounts like Matt Walsh and libs of TikTok, again, where they sort of post this stuff. What's being done? Well, 2 days ago, we know that Elon Musk, who owns Twitter now, he just reversed the policy that Twitter did have against targeting and harassment of LGBTQ people, against misgendering transgender people.
So that narrative continues, Terry. Any other thoughts?
Yeah, I want to skip to diversions because that's what this is. They are the ones committing violence against transgender people, or as I would describe them, people with gender dysphoria. We need to hold them accountable for the violence and the destruction that they are inflicting on our brothers and sisters, on our children. They are destroying their lives. They are creating sexually destroyed people that won't be able to have families, that won't be able to have sexual gratification down the road. These are evil people, and it's called projection. They are projecting their own guilt onto us because they know that they are the ones that are destroying our kids. They are the ones that are making these people unhappy. And you know why they're doing it? Because there's power behind it, because there's money behind it. These big pharma companies, these surgeons, they're all on camera now talking about how much money they're making. They're the evil ones. We're the good ones. Don't relent. We have to keep fighting.
So Terry, I want to play a piece of tape here kind of on this, you know, continued theme here. Let's go to cut 58. Tucker talks about, I don't even know how to pronounce this company's name, Balenciaga. I guess that's right. I don't know. Yeah, I've never heard of him before. Play cut 58.
Consider the latest ad for the clothing brand Balenciaga. This was just uploaded on Instagram. As you can see, the photo shoot they're using to sell their products features a young girl holding a teddy bear in a bondage outfit. Then, in case you missed the point, the photo shoot also contains this image. It shows several documents. Most of them aren't visible, but what you can see when you zoom in, and of course the point is that you see it, is a reference to a U.S. Supreme Court case called Ashcroft versus Free Speech Coalition. That case struck down a law against kiddie porn. What is this? Well, it is what it appears to be. It's an endorsement of kiddie porn, of child pornography.
Terry, what the heck is going on here?
Well, this is what progressives have always wanted. You know, Charlie, you and I know from our involvement in the Claremont Institute, progressives want to tear down all barriers to human flourishing. They look at these laws that protect children from being sexualized as a barrier to that. They think that major problems come from not allowing children to be free sexually, right? And what's happening is our elite class, the people that have the most money, that run our major corporations, they are all on board with the sexual liberation of children. That's how it's going to be sold to us. It's, I think a lot of times when we talk about normalizing pedophilia, it's, you know, we think it's going to come from like, oh, the adults need to have sex with children. No, they're going to say that you are killing children, that you are causing them harm by not allowing them to experiment and have sexual gratification. Think about this. In the 90s, they have been saying, well, children are having sex anyway, so we might as well teach them how to have safe sex. That's so close to saying, well, children are having sex anyway with each other, so why not let them have sex with an adult who's more experienced, who knows how the ins and outs of it all? Wouldn't it be good to have a guide, a map, a minor attractive person? This all flows, right? And it's all part of a sexual liberation theology, and it's radical, and we need to wake up to it because not enough people know what's going on.
Yeah, and I mean, I hate to politicize this. Actually, I don't hate to politicize it, but it's just true. I mean, the American Democrat Party is on board with all of this. Why didn't we talk more about this in the midterms? I mean, this is now a key plank of the Democrat Party, which is the sexualization of children.
Well, Charlie, I've been fighting this for a while now. There, it's embedded into the Republican establishment that talking about social issues, talking about the family, talking about the culture, those are losers. Those only work with the base in getting your turnout higher. And so they shy away from that, and we really need to dig into it. And I get accused of punching right a lot, but I'm punching left. It's that the establishment is keeping me from punching right, right? Mitch McConnell only wanted us talking about crime and inflation. He didn't want the conversation this midterm to be about parental rights and education, protecting kids from genderqueer and all these pornographic books in schools, or from sexualizing kids through these transgender surgeries. Mitch McConnell and the Republican Party, they're led by sellout Republicans who keep us from winning these very easy battles, right? It's not hard to beat Democrats when they're sexualizing kids or giving kids sex changes. 90% of Americans, 80% of Americans, depending on which poll you take, oppose this stuff. And by the way, no one's going to actually vote against you for making protecting children from being sexualized a major issue in your campaign. It's sellout Republicans that keep us from making this a bigger issue in our elections and campaigns.
I totally agree. Terry Schilling, thank you for joining us. How do people check out your website and your social media?
Just follow me online at Schilling1776, S-C-H-I-L-L-I-N-G 1776 on all the platforms. And then also check us out at AmericanPrinciplesProject.org.
Thank you, Terry. Appreciate it as always. Thank you.
Thanks, Charlie.
Charlie Kirk here. Look, I've told you about producer Andrew and how Relief Factor has really improved his life and relieved the pain in his knees and back. Now, let me tell you about Yvonne in California. She says this, quote, both my husband and I are in our 70s and so grateful to have found Relief Factor. We tried so many other solutions, but none of them have given us the freedom from aches and pains like Relief Factor. I hear you, Yvonne. Relief Factor works for me too. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free solution developed by doctors based on scientific research to help your body attack the underlying inflammation causing you pain. 3 weeks from now, you could be doing the things you enjoy doing. Your first step to becoming pain-free could be just to order the 3-week quick start for only $19.95. After trying Relief Factor, over 500,000 people have gone on to order more. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out more about this offer. That's relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. Live your best life and feel the difference with Relief Factor. There's a big story around Saudi Arabia, and no, not the soccer upset, which, again, you might not like soccer, but it is a pretty unbelievable story. So I was actually, just for fun, because I don't really follow international soccer very much unless it's the World Cup, because of just the pressure and the eyeballs. It's the most watched sporting event, more so than the Olympics. So every player is under immense pressure, especially from some of these countries that take it super seriously, like France or from England or from Brazil or for Argentina. So yesterday I went to the betting odds of the World Cup, just kind of who is favored to win the World Cup and who is not favored. And so this was, I think it might have updated after today. So the team that was in last, the very lowest you could get of betting odds to win the entire World Cup was Saudi Arabia. 75,000-1 odds. 75,000-1 odds to win the entire World Cup. Now, I could only imagine what the odds would have been for Saudi Arabia versus Argentina in the opener of the World Cup. And they say that the openers are the most important because you get 3 points and you proceed. If you win your opener, it's like 80% chance you move on to the next round. Very complicated. They allow ties. It's really silly. Anyway, so Saudi Arabia plays Argentina. It was 3 o'clock in the morning mountain time. I didn't watch it. I remember looking at my phone last night before I went to bed. I'm like, yeah, that's going to be, I'm going to wake up. It's going to be like 11-1 Argentina, and Messi's going to have like 4 goals or something. And Saudi Arabia beat Argentina. The equivalent would be, I don't even know if there's a sports equivalent. The equivalent would be like a D2 basketball team beating the Lakers. 75,000-1 odds, Saudi Arabia to win the World Cup, and Argentina was plus 550 odds. Unbelievable. So anyway, we're not here to talk about that story. I just find it's just so improbable and so extraordinary. But there is a Saudi Arabia story we're here to talk about. Jack Posobiec joins us from Human Events Daily, brought to you by Turning Point USA. Jack does a great job. Jack, welcome back. How you doing?
You know, Charlie, they've actually declared a national holiday in Saudi Arabia because of the upset over Argentina. I thought of one that analogy that might be able to help people. This is like a little league team beating the World Series champions, right? This is like some little league team, you know, from like down the street goes in and beats the World Series champs on day one. Because Argentina was, they were favorite. They were the favorite before
That's right.
this match. And it's like Messi, not like this, Messi, not like this.
It's the number one favored team against the least favored team.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And so,
it's completely insane.
Hey, if that can happen, there might be a judge in Maricopa County who's willing for
there
a
There might
vote.
Be.
All right?
There might be. So you're telling me there's a chance.
It's coming full circle.
You're telling me there's a chance.
All right, Jack, what's going on with Saudi Arabia, outside of silly soccer stuff? What's going on with the pump and dump?
We call it the Saudi shuffle, a massive pump and dump that took place yesterday. Single source reporting, similar to the international disgrace James Laporta, who was summarily fired from Associated Press. I don't know why they were dumpster diving into the bargain bin of the Daily Beast of higher reporters. I hope they never do that again. After they had to fire him for lying about the Poland missile strike that turns out actually was a Ukrainian missile, not a Russian missile. It was a stray missile. By the way, Zelensky still yet to apologize for that, or at least offer condolences. But in Saudi Arabia, there was a single-sourced anonymous report to the Wall Street Journal yesterday that said that Saudi Arabia would be ramping up oil production. Now, remember, this has been a huge strategic goal for the Biden administration to ramp up OPEC's oil production because they've put the lock and chain on all American domestic production. And so for a second there, it looked as though the oil would be flooding, the pumps would be going from Saudi Arabia, and all because the Biden administration had given immunity to MBS himself, the crown prince, essentially the ruler of Saudi Arabia, in these lawsuits regarding the death of Khashoggi. This guy Khashoggi was, you know, very shady, very sinister character, wrote for the Washington Post, so already someone that we should definitely have an asterisk next to. But again, you're tied to some very, very bad people in the Middle East. But here's what happened. The Saudis came out and completely denied the report. So the price of oil, Charlie, for a couple hours there on the markets, the oil futures just fell. They were suddenly flying down. They said, oh, there's this huge deal, because the Biden White House was taking incoming all day over this. Khashoggi's widow comes out and is like, oh, how about you've killed him again. So she said, you've killed him again. Well, the dirty little secret is it looks as though this entire thing was fake, and it was either cooked up by somebody on the street who had some nice puts maybe in the oil market and conducted a literal pump and dump with oil futures, or were they working potentially in conjunction with somebody in the White House, the Biden administration, that was looking for a little bit of cover fire for the fact that they had given immunity to MBS, and because they are trying to mess with the markets going into what they know is going to be a horrific fourth quarter for our economy. They're trying to do anything they can to try to get that oil production up
but that's illegal, by the way, you can't set
it up our own domestic oil production. Well, I think it's, Charlie, it's not necessarily that's illegal, but it's that the green movement is beholden, or I should say the Biden administration is beholden to the green movement. And it's become this theocratic medieval pagan-like movement within their organization, within their infrastructure. So, you know, you've been talking about the ballot harvesting, you've been talking about these operations. Well, one of the places that they get their foot soldiers from is this green movement. And so for them to go back on that, they would have to repudiate it. And in doing so, by allowing American actual oil production to go up, they would lose all their foot soldiers. They would lose donations from companies that have totally invested in this green technology. They would lose so much. And so even though they know, right, these people, they're not stupid. They're not incompetent. They know exactly what they're doing, Charlie. I've always said this. They know exactly what they're doing. But the problem is they're so beholden to this movement that they can't. And so they were trying to, I think they were trying to conduct a Saudi shuffle. That's where we got this story where it looked as if it was a quid pro quo. But Saudi's coming out saying, we're not playing like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, then what is the potential, you know, lesson here or course of action beyond this, right? I mean, it's a huge blunder for the Biden regime in multiple levels. So what's the best way then to proceed?
Well, for those of us trying to understand what's going on, right, the Wall Street Journal obviously needs to name their source on this because they got totally burned. So if their source lied to them the same way, right, that James LaPorta just got fired from the Associated Press, the Wall Street Journal needs to do some due diligence here and to understand, did this source come from the street? Was it somebody who was conducting a pump and dump? Was it somebody that was set up for financial success and financial gain? And that's why this was done. Or was this a source from the Biden administration themselves? Was this done for political purposes, for political cover, over granting immunity to, over this Khashoggi killing, which, of course, the Biden administration made a huge deal about for the first 2 years? And in fact, this is one of the reasons that they, you know, even though they went over there and they had the fist bump heard around the world with MBS and Biden, that they still told him to go literally pound sand because that's all they were going to
be. They got plenty of sand there. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And this is so interesting. So what does this mean then kind of for the new Republican Congress? Is this looking into?
Well, I think it's worth looking into on a number of issues because we actually have to look to check out now. Did Jake Sullivan make a phone call to the Wall Street Journal? Was Jake Sullivan trying potentially to get a deal like that? Did you grant immunity, right? Did you grant immunity to somebody based on a secret deal that was made behind the backs of the American people to try to get OPEC to increase? Like, are we just going around offering secret deals to every Middle Eastern dictatorship and regime rather than actually do the work of the American people? Is that what our government is now? Are you saying, hey, make sure that Hunter Biden's artwork flies off the shelves and we'll give you a nice deal for immunity if you've conducted, you know, murders of one of our citizens? Or, by the way, the same situation that we have with the 9/11 families, right? What's the price for the immunity for the 9/11 families then? I'd love to ask Jake Sullivan that. I'd love to get some of these people on the record in front of Congress, haul them in, bring them in. Because remember, executive privilege doesn't exist anymore because we learned that through the Steve Bannon situation. So if executive privilege doesn't exist anymore because Steve Bannon can get charged for claiming executive privilege, then great. Let's bring in everyone that talked to Biden. Let's bring in all these professors and academics and experts,
yes,
and consultants. Let's bring in BlackRock. Let's bring in Blackstone. Let's haul everyone up there and let's say, did Jake Sullivan tell you to say that? Did Jake Sullivan say there was a deal? Did Biden say that? Let's look at which meetings he was having. Charlie, I don't think people realize that this, because of the new Bannon precedent and a Republican Congress, this opens up all sorts of avenues for not only checks and balances on the independent agencies like the FBI or the CIA, which, of course, we certainly need to break open in the Gen 6 situation, but also onto the Biden administration itself, because this wasn't usually something that would be considered under the purview of a Congress because of executive privilege.
Yes.
However, thanks to the new Bannon precedent, great, we can call in anybody who isn't an official employee of the White House and ask them what the White House is up to. If you've been brought in as an independent consultant, if you're someone that's been given maybe like an interim security clearance and brought in for consultation, guess what? We can subpoena all of you now.
Yeah, I find that so interesting. Really quick, Jack, Jim Jordan is pledging, if he's going to be head of judiciary, to interview every single one of the officials that claim that the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation. I'm super interested in this because that was one of the most just artificial and, quite honestly, effective fake stories of the 2020 election. You remember what I'm talking about here. What are the chances that we're going to find out it gets back to the Biden campaign?
Well, so we need a two-tracked approach when it comes to the Biden laptop, right? So because we need to investigate what happened during those final days of 2020 when Steve Bannon and myself and so many others, the New York Post, Emma Jo Morris at the New York Post put out that great story. But at the same time, we also have to do a due diligence investigation of the actual content of the laptop itself. We need to get into the Chinese firms. We need to get into the Russian firms, the Ukrainian firms, Burisma, all of the emails, all of the oligarchs that he was working for. Because, Charlie, that's what this is about. This is about Biden, when he was the vice president, selling his office, selling it for favors. And to tie it all back, it sounds an awful lot like we were just talking about with Saudi Arabia, that this is a guy who's willing to engage in quid pro quos where he either personally benefits, he politically benefits, his son financially benefits in order for attaining the type of U.S. policy that they want. And I know there's been a lot of people who will say, well, that's just lobbying. That's just how business is done in Washington, D.C. But you haven't seen this level of personal mm-hmm. direct involvement like this that I've ever seen, even anything with, you know, outside of the Clintons in politics before we've seen what the Biden crime family has been up to.
Jack Posobiec, great job as always. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Charlie.
Are you tired of feeling tired? I've never experienced anything quite like the new Strong Cell product. I take it right before every single show. It's so easy. And you've got to read up on everything that has been packed into these tiny bottles. You see, Strong Cell is a new scientific cocktail of cellular level replenishment. It's so simple. Just drink one small bottle of Strong Cell liquid per day and boom, you guys get NADH. NAD is something I've been studying for a while. And before I got to know Strong Cell, I said, boy, I really would love to take it every day. It's a crucial coenzyme for creating natural energy and restoration in your bodily cells. It also contains collagen, well documented for its vast health benefits. Your body should experience a big energy boost the first week, then within 15 days, you'll start noticing even more benefits. 30 days, you'll be feeling so much different. So do me a favor and consider giving the supplement the full 4 weeks versus just one bottle to realize the best results for you. The formula is designed to generate long-term positive change, unlike energy drinks. I take it every single day. It's not an artificial boost of immediate energy like caffeine. I'm talking about cellular level restoration. Learn more right now at their website. Visit strongcell.com/Charlie and enter promo code Charlie for a 20% discount. They have made me a believer. NAD is a real thing. You guys should check it out. My special 20% discount for Kirk Show fans will apply whether you want to test it out for 1 week or for a month. But I highly encourage you guys to try it for all 4 weeks. You won't regret it. Joining us now is Congressman Chip Roy. Chip, welcome to the program. Chip, tell us about some of the great threats of this lame duck Congress.
Yeah, well, this is the reason in September, a bunch of my colleagues and I from the Freedom Caucus said, hey, we shouldn't be putting a funding bill into the lame duck. You're just teeing up Democrats to do what they're going to do, which is try to jam through a bunch of terrible spending. Now, right now, what do we have in front of us? We have the NDAA coming through, which currently has provisions in it, which would arguably draft our daughters, does nothing to stop vaccine mandates, would continue the woke indoctrination of our military. Fast forward to December, we have the omnibus spending effort that the Democrats are trying to jam through, which will do nothing to secure our border, will do nothing to actually change our energy policy. But worse than that, it'll double down on terrible policies. Terrible policies, for example, they got another $37 billion they want to throw at us on Ukraine. So there's a number of things we're going to have to deal with over the next month, and we're going to need to have leadership to stand up and fight it. And we're not seeing it right now out of the U.S. Senate for sure.
So, Congressman, let me ask you about, it seems as if we're sending more money to Ukraine right now. Is that right?
Well, that's certainly what's on the table, right? We've been told that they're going to be seeking another $37 billion. Now, this on top, by the way, which we saw all this money flowing out. We got money going to oligarchs, money that may be going to China. And now you got all this money that was flowing through for, you know, FTX and then be funneling it back to Democrat candidates and frankly, not even just Democrats. So, you know, that's a problem. We have no accountability. We have no way of knowing how the money's being used. Like, none of us want Ukraine to just hang out and, you know, hang them out to dry. But now you've got this threat of, you know, you had Ukrainian missiles that hit the ground in Poland. Like, this is the kind of way the wars start. And you got, you know, Steny Hoyer out there saying, it's a time of war. Well, when the hell did I ever vote on war?
Like,
we never declared war. And if this is a proxy war, well, we sure as crap ought to sit down and decide how we're going to spend money and whether it's in our national security interest, how that money is being used, and that it not be used to start World War III.
Yeah, I mean, where is the congressional oversight in any of this? So, I mean, long and short of it, do we have the power to stop a lot of this stuff or no?
So right now we're in a weak position because we had a continuing resolution in September, which I fought and opposed because I didn't want it to expire in December and give more power to Democrats. Well, here we sit. You have a Senate with 49 Republicans, so you got a Democrat-led, you know, Senate. And look, we're seeing right now on the marriage issue, right? 12 Republican senators from bright red states are siding with Democrats against traditional marriage, but importantly against religious liberty. So here, those same kind of weak-kneed Republicans are going to throw us and every American under the bus on a big omnibus spending bill and pack it full of garbage and certainly not do what we need to do, which is use the power of the purse to demand we secure the border, use the power of the purse to demand we protect American energy. So those things aren't going to happen. And right now we're just hanging on for dear life to get into the next Congress. So hopefully a Republican House can check this stuff. But understand the NDAA is another problem and it's coming down the road at us. Every Republican just bends over and says, whatever the defense industrial complex wants, we'll give them. We'll spend a whole bunch of money, but we're not going to fix vaccine mandates. We're not going to, you know, stop the woke stuff. You know, we're not going to actually protect against funding travel for abortion, which is currently in the NDAA. Yep. And Republicans need to step up and fight this stuff.
Yes. Yeah, so in the National Defense Reauthorization Act, there is travel costs for abortion.
Correct. Now, we don't have the final draft. That's what we're being told, right? You're kind of pre-negotiating in the Senate. But let me be clear. Republicans likely have the power to stop it if they'll exercise it, because usually the left flank of Democrats won't vote for the NDAA. The problem is too many Republicans will just do whatever the defense world says, and they go, well, we can't vote against pay raises for our troops. We can't vote against helicopters. So sure, let's continue the racial indoctrination. Let's continue funding abortion travel. Let's continue vaccine mandates.
This is just extraordinary. So going into the new Congress, you know, Chip, what is your thought or philosophy, about a minute and a half remaining, on that leadership fight?
So right now, my position is pretty simple. No one has 218. This is not personal. This is what we do every single Congress. We have to organize. I want leadership who will stand up and lead. I want it to be demonstrated. I want them to use the power of the purse to fight for the things we all want. I want them to make very clear that they're going to give all of us a say in what goes to the floor and not just the appropriators and the power brokers and the cardinals. I don't want you to be given power because you fundraise at the National Congressional Committee. And importantly, I want to fight for the American people. I want leadership that will stand up to do the things they sent us there to do, hold them accountable. We can't get everything we want in this divided government, but we can damn well stand on the line and say, you're not going to get a blank check to keep screwing over the American people. And I want a coordinated church committee style oversight effort.
That's totally true.
Very clear message against the weaponization of government.
We need a church style committee in the FBI, DOJ, and DHS all simultaneously. And we cannot allow Fauci to get off the hook either. Congressman Chip Roy, thank you so much. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Thank you.
Thanks, Charlie. Have a blessed one. Take care.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.